It's now time for the MLB.com Cut 4 Cast. Cut 4 Cast. The Cut 4 Cast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut 4 Cast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
It's snowing out.
It's snowing a lot.
A lot of
it's
snow.
It's actually Winter Storm Nico.
What?
That's what it's called. It's Winter Storm Nico. It has a name.
No. Yes! Don't get me on a rant about winter. You know who I bet is on my side about the Winter Storm naming thing? Mike Trout, who we should have had on this episode of the Cup Forecast.
Now we can never know if he's on your side, though.
I guarantee you he is. Winter storm naming is not a thing. It's not like hurricanes.
Well,
the Weather Channel just does that.
Nico would disagree with you.
Nico. That's also a bad name for a winter storm.
What would you name it?
Gemma.
That is not even in, that is not an N name. It obviously has to go in order.
My point is that it's really cold. Also, there's nobody
like
else
me.
Here. Like your soul. There's nobody else here. It's just
yeah,
you and me.
Yeah, it is.
So, sorry. You just have to put up with us this week.
Yeah. I mean, we're
a little
great,
bit of housekeeping,
so you're
lucky. Too. I'm not going to be here next week, so it'll be a solo pod.
there will be some guests.
You're not going to come in and just, like, monologue.
I'm actually just going to do a monologue about Shakespeare, baseball, and really obscure history.
Soccer. I will
and
be.
Soccer and presidents.
I will
That's
be
talk about.
Leaving today and entering the world of yesterday,
Stop.
Tomorrow, and fantasy.
This is awful.
It's not awful. It's great.
Actually, I'm just really jealous.
You are jealous. Gemma, where am I going?
She goes going to Disney World.
I'm going to Disney World. I did not win the Super Bowl or become the Super Bowl MVP, but I'm nevertheless going to Walt Disney World.
You should pretend you are on. You have just won some sport thing.
I should. I'm wearing like wide receiver gloves right now.
Yeah, sure. That's what they are.
That is what they are. Sure. We have a lot to get to, though. Enough talking about pointless stuff, because there's just a lot of news in the baseball world that I would like to talk about. We will discuss a crow that was eaten, literally.
Disgusting.
We will discuss a certain bearded pitcher who is no longer bearded.
Gasp.
And for a while was no longer a pitcher. And we will talk about throwback uniforms. But before we get to all of that, there has been, I guess this was the week that every minor league team in the world was telling us all of their incredible promotions. There's a lot coming up.
Yeah.
My question to you, Gemma, is there one that stuck out in your mind that you are most excited for this coming year? Obviously, the Peoria Pancakes do not exist.
Yet.
Our franchise that we will start someday. But
it'd be so good.
But saving that, is there anything that you're particularly excited about?
Well, I would like to note that with Cut 4, we did a post a while ago. I wrote a post a while ago ranking potential promotions that would come up over this next year. Mm-hmm. And one of the things on that list was a Stranger Things night. It did not get voted up that high in terms of potential promotions. However, there will be a Stranger Things night this year with the Montgomery Biscuits. They're doing Stranger Things jerseys. And I feel like they should send me one for my role in the creation of this event.
I feel like they should just make us in charge of minor league baseball.
Yes.
Right?
All of my suggestions were great. I don't know why there hasn't been an Empire night yet. I'm offended. It would be so good.
Here are the things that we are really good at. We're really good at minor league promotions.
Uh-huh.
We're really good. Our friend Billy Harner said as much.
Yes.
With the local
Cyclones.
Brooklyn Cyclones.
Yes.
And we're also really good at coming up with ideas for movies and television shows.
Yes, all of these
aimed
things.
Baseball.
Just be in charge of all these things.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. Speaking of movies and TV shows about baseball, I am excited for the Stranger Things night, but mostly because I wanted to boast about having written that post about it before. But the night that you can probably
guess.
Oh,
okay.
Guess,
so this
yes.
was really just
yeah,
an
just
exercise in stroking
in
your ego.
Not in
okay,
it.
Fair
but
enough.
Anyway, the night I'm most excited for, which you could probably guess, is A League of Their Own night, which the Giants AAA team, the Sacramento River Cats, will be having on September 2nd. And they're going to wear Rockford Peaches-inspired uniforms. And it's going to be great because I love that movie. And I love the All-American Girls Baseball League.
Who's your favorite character in the movie?
Rosie.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that entire movie. I love Gina Davis. I love catchers in general. I probably like catchers because of Gina Davis,
yeah,
honestly, because I was so little when that movie came out, and I was just really into it. Yeah. I mean, Marla's great. Cleanup hitter, Marla Hooch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mine is Tom Hanks because baseball's for men. at Dakota Gardner. That was a
expelled,
joke.
Was it?
It was, but feel free to angrily tweet at me. Mine is probably the August 7th promotion that the AAA affiliate, no, they're not AAA, they're single A affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies, the Reading Fightin' Phils, have announced. It's Whoopie Pie Day, and they will be the Reading Whoopie Pies.
That's cute.
First of all, Whoopie Pies are delicious. Second of all, the jersey is styled to look like a Whoopie Pie, as is the hat, we've discussed.
That is key.
It's like key. Black, and yeah. It has the little like cream going around, mm-hmm. as though the hat were bisected by cream. And we have discussed before that hats that resemble food are really important.
It's
even
true.
More than like just that picture of the food on the front. But then that's the really the crowning achievement of the Reading Whoopie Pies, is that the logo is a like an anthropomorphic Whoopie Pie that's holding a little pennant that says Whoopie.
Yes, that's really cute.
How can you not love
that's
that?
Really cute, and I do love it. I think that is if you that is really it. You have to pick a circular food and then make your hat that will win me over every time.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly that's the Montgomery biscuits. That's mm-hmm. our Peoria pancakes. Enough of that. Enough of this inane nonsense.
It's great nonsense.
No, it's not. Yes, we need to talk about other uniforms.
Fine.
And other themed
uniforms.
Nights. Cut Four's Michael Clare, who you, if you listen to this podcast, are familiar with. He wrote a post in which he went for all 30 teams. He looked through their uniform histories and said, you know what? They should have a throwback uniform night to this uniform. And this was a passion project of his. He was very excited about doing it. I'm wondering if there are any that stuck out in your mind from his list, which you can read at mlb.com/cut4, that you, Gemma, are particularly impassioned to want to see again, or was there one that he left off that you said, hey, no, it should be this?
Well, I thought all these are pretty comprehensive lists. They were great. There were so many things on there that I did not know existed.
Yes.
And was happy to see brought back into the light. As you probably know if you listen to this podcast, I really like bold colors in uniforms. So he highlighted the 73A's uniform, which is all green. And that's exciting. It's fun to look at. It's dynamic. But I did not know that the 46 Braves had a satin uniform. We always talk about color diversity in the uniforms. Materials, though, like shiny satin uniforms. I would love to see that.
I had the exact same thought. And apparently the reason they did this was to make the light reflect brighter so you could watch the game at night and more clearly see the players.
Which is smart.
Which is smart. But it also is extremely striking, and it's not something that you would normally see on a baseball field. It looks like streetwear. It looks like one of those, like when they take a baseball cap for, like, the Yankees or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're like, we want to have a fashion version. So it's, like, blue and shiny. That's what it looks like,
it's real. Like an 80s bullpen jacket, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, like, really shiny, smooth looking. Yeah. I really wanted to see that, but obviously I am also wearing a Tigers hoodie right now that has the tiger, like the weird tiger on it, the one that looks like it's been tranquilized and now is waking up from a nightmare.
Yeah.
And also like is missing like its back teeth. So I love this tiger. And he also pointed out that the 28 Tigers put this tiger on the back of the uniform.
Yeah.
So you have to all, like, you're just going to see it everywhere. Just this weird tiger looking at you. And I love the weird tiger so much.
Yeah, he's
strange. I have multiple items of clothing with the screwed up tiger on it.
I like there's several different teams that just wrote world champions on their jersey, which we need to bring that back.
Obviously.
In addition to the satin Braves, which I think is the Cut Four vote.
Yes,
I think
definitely.
That's what, if, again, when we're the commissioner.
Surprising interest. Yeah, when we are collectively.
No offense to Commissioner Manfred, but when Cut Four is named the commissioner, that's the first act.
Bring back the satin.
Additionally, if you know me, you know that I am from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I am a Charlotte sports fan. My favorite basketball team, the Charlotte Hornets, formerly, back in the day, wore one of the most striking teal and purple combinations you could ever see. Now they are back in teal again. It's a bit less striking, a bit more subtle, far less 90s. Whether you are happy about that or upset about that probably depends on the year that you were born. However, the Miami Marlins, used to be the Florida Marlins. Mm-hmm. And in 1993, they debuted one of the most teal jerseys on earth. You can go see that MLB.com/cut4. I just want to see those Florida Marlins. Really, any of the teal Florida Marlins jerseys back. I like the Miami Marlins mm-hmm. jerseys. I like their stadium. I like Pitbull. But I wish that they would bring teal back because I love teal.
Teal was really just such a strong choice for almost, for like a decade of sports uniforms.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a little teal in their uniforms now.
But it's not Florida Marlins teal.
It's true.
Like that it's was true. With the white. I used to have
Miami teal. That's a thing.
Miami teal. Just that's the other thing. Like if they can make it more Miami, that's also
really
acceptable
should.
Too.
Yeah.
But that's different alternative.
What
uniforms.
If they somehow incorporated Pitbull into the logo?
It's so good. If they did that, we would relocate Cut 4 down to Miami.
Yeah, I think we would have no choice but to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, enough with throwback uniforms, Gemma. Why did you insist on talking about this?
We liked the satin. It was worth it.
We did like the satin. It was worth it.
All for the satin.
I don't know if you heard about this, but during the 2016 season in which Christian Yelich, hey, what a good transition. Miami Marlins, uh-huh. Christian Yelich.
Now which that you pointed it out, it only got more smooth and not awkward at all.
No, not awkward at all. A local Miami radio personality, Brendan Tobin, stated on the air that he had that Christian Yelich had no chance of reaching 20 home runs, and that if he did, he would eat crow. He said that. I'll eat crow, which is an expression.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever said it.
I don't know. I may have. I know it is an expression.
I don't know if that's in your lexicon.
Testing the waters to see if you can get me to eat an actual crow? Is that what's happening here?
Yes, we're going to have a bet at the end of this episode in which the loser has to eat crow. No, but MLB.com's Christina DeNicola has the story. She was down there and she watched as, in fact, this radio host mm-hmm. did eat crow because Christian Yelich broke out and reach 20 home runs on the season. So I don't know what there is to say about that beyond gross.
Media personalities have done this before. Like I've seen people do this before, but usually they're like, oh, I got this fancy chef to come in and make me like crow goulash or like a crow. No, this looked disgusting.
It looked like a crow.
It looked like a crow. It looked like someone just picked it up off. Like it flew into an electrical wire and then they just picked it up.
Have you ever seen that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Frank eats the crow and it's like diseased? That's what it looked like.
Yes. Oh yeah. When they are outside.
They're outside. Yes. Yeah. They're in the woods.
Basically fight milk.
Fight. Basically
crow enthusiasts. Crow enthusiasts.
It looked gross. My question to you is, would you eat a weird animal for
Christian Yelich?
for Christian Yelich, for any sports purpose, any baseball purpose, because like I think of like there were all those guys who ate the goat mm-hmm. in order to exorcise the curse of the Billy Goat in Chicago. I don't know if there's like I know there's a lot of Chicago ones in my head. I think of them blowing up the Steve Bartman baseball and making it into a pasta sauce.
God, that's disgusting.
Do you think that you would eat weird food stuff if it meant the Tigers would win the World Series?
I mean, I don't. It's harder to think of what that would be because I can't. What would the rally animal even be? I don't know. Would the closest thing
would
I
you eat a tiger
like,
to make
definitely
a tiger.
Not? That's sad. Tigers are great.
Assuming it's not like an endangered
would a
tiger.
Royals fan eat a bunch of praying mantises? Is what I would wonder about. You know, like the rally mantis.
Would you eat a bunch of praying mantises if it meant the Tigers won the World Series?
No.
What about a praying mantis?
No. I can't even think about that. What about if you ate
a praying mantis and everyone in America agreed no longer to make fun of Detroit? Would you do it then?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah, I would do it if everyone in America agreed not to make fun of Detroit again. I would. Yes, but that would never happen.
No, that will never happen.
Can you think of something for Boston? Like some kind
of
food that...
No,
like Boston,
because the answer is that right.
There
is not
You're
enough.
Done now. That city is done. Sorry, you can't have anymore.
Yeah, it should be noted. I'm
I would
just
eat
a Red Sox fan.
A box
fan.
Of praying mantises.
Not
if it
a
meant
fan.
That Boston did not win any more major sports titles.
That's not nice.
For like the next 20 years.
That's wow.
Yeah.
What is your Twitter handle again?
It is at Dakota Gardner.
Incorrect. That is not what your Twitter handle is. I do not believe that about Boston sports. Please don't attack me, Boston Twitter.
I guess the Celtics are right.
I would definitely do it though for Charlotte sports.
Yeah.
We don't have a baseball team. So maybe, yeah, I would eat something for Charlotte to get a baseball team.
Well, Charlotte has good food.
We do. We have, like,
I guess
really
I feel
food.
Like even a crow would probably taste okay. You let someone in Charlotte cook it.
Well, yeah, it depends.
Like, not a weird one that is from
no,
the road.
I don't want to eat that. But, like, yeah. Mertz Heart and Soul is this delicious restaurant in downtown Charlotte that I think of. They did not pay for advertising on this podcast, but they're going to get it. It is delicious. It's one of my favorite restaurants on the face of the earth.
Well, do you have any predictions that you would like any bets you'd like to make about anyone this year that we can then hold each other to as the season goes on?
Where we have to eat something weird?
I don't know if that's, yeah, I guess. It could involve eating something weird. It could involve, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good one. I can't think of anybody specific who I have a bet about.
Yeah. We'll have to think about it.
We'll
do it in a couple
weeks.
We'll do it before the season starts.
We'll do an episode.
If you guys have any ideas of some weird thing that we should wager, or food or clothing items or whatever. Dakota's wearing weird gloves right now. It's making me very uncomfortable. If you guys can think of anything that you want us to bet, tweet at Dakota Gardner or at Gemma Kaneko or at Cut4 and let us know.
Let us know, but should we know the gloves are not weird.
They are weird.
Before we move on, if you listened to last week's episode.
Where's a t-shirt and gloves?
Do not interrupt me while I'm talking and gesticulating with my gloves on. If you listened to last week's episode, you heard an interview with the incredibly intelligent Mike Petriello. Hey, did you know that he has a podcast? It's called the StatCast Podcast. You can listen to it at MLB.com/podcasts. You can search for it on iTunes. It's really good. It's also hosted by Matt Myers, who is great. We love Matt. They both work here, so we see them. But they are great, too. Recently, they've talked about why there were more home runs in 2016 than before. They talked about different kinds of batted balls with stat guru Tom Tango. It's a great podcast. I listen to it. Gemma, do you listen to it?
I do listen to it. It's great.
Yeah, but really, it's not interesting if you and I listen to it. You should listen to it because it's awesome. So I just wanted to give them a little shout out.
That's nice.
Thank you. But let's move on here to, I think, the most important topic of the week. I don't know. Maybe you disagree. I think this is the most important topic.
Okay.
3 years ago, in 2014, a man threw his last pitch in the major leagues with the Dodgers. It was sad.
Yeah.
That man's name was Brian Wilson. Not of the Beach Boys. Of baseball. Of San Francisco Giants fame. Mm-hmm. He is attempting a comeback. But there are two things, as Adrian Garrow pointed out on our website, although technically Yahoo Sports Tim Brown alerted us to this, but Adrian wrote about it on Cut4. First of all, he has shaved the beard. It's gone.
Weird.
It's weird.
Weird.
Fear the weird, because he doesn't have a beard. Second of all, he wants to be a knuckleballer.
Of course he does.
I know.
Of course.
Can you think of anything more fitting for Brian Wilson
actually,
than throwing a knuckleball?
The most satisfying, because just a couple weeks ago, maybe the last episode, like an episode or two ago, we were asking, like, what happened to Brian Wilson? Like, did he just fall off the face of the planet? Because I really did wonder after 2014.
This happens to relief pitchers, all the, especially closers. They will, like, they'll have an injury or they'll have, like, a bad 6 months. Or I guess bad 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they'll go away somewhere and then they just never come back. And you're like,
never,
hey, what happened?
Again. Yeah. Just never.
It happened to Brad Lidge.
What? Where?
Right? He's retired now. But, like, it was just all this. He was gone.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. It's weird. I hope he comes back. I definitely hope he throws the knuckleball because it's the perfect pitch for
him.
If
he could come back in any – like, obviously, he could not just be like, oh, yeah, I was just injured or, I fell into a parallel reality and I finally managed to
– Maybe he did.
– work my way back through an elaborate series of adventures and wormholes and puzzles. Like, that probably did happen, but aside.
See,
that,
this is another great television show idea from the Cut Forecast. Brian Wilson falls into another dimension and then has to complete puzzles to find his way back.
I was thinking of it as like a child's video game for some reason.
Sure.
No, I don't know.
Why not?
Whatever. Like Carmen Sandiego travels through time, but it's Brian Wilson. Anyway. Anyway.
Why isn't there, has there been a Carmen Sandiego promo night? There should be.
Yes. Minor league teams.
Yo, minor league teams.
Carmen Sandiego night. I know that our friend Billy Harner at the Brooklyn Cyclones is planning an Oregon Trail night, so why not also a Carmen Sandiego night?
That'd be
if we're
so
talking
good.
About DOS video games that we all
I know. The
love.
Caps could be the red thing. It could look like her big red hat.
That would be so good.
Okay.
But, you know, it makes sense to me that this is how Brian Wilson would come back. He would come back with just the strangest and quirkiest pitch that you can throw. And
I need more knuckleballers.
We do. I hope it works out for him. I like Brian Wilson.
I do, too. Well, and he's young, too.
In a sense, I find him kind of frightening, but I still like him.
He is frightening. But I think he's 34, and that's young for a knuckleballer. He can go another 6-7 years if he makes
it. Yeah, look, if Joe Blanton can anchor a bullpen in 2016, why can't
anything
Brian
can
Wilson
happen.
Come back?
You're right. That is a great point. Anything can happen. You know what, Gemma?
What?
Dakota? We had a quiz on our website, our very own website, MLB.com/cut4. It was about matching old-timey baseball nicknames to the player who had that nickname. Mm-hmm. We're running out of time, but I just want to know, if you had an old-timey baseball nickname, what would it be? Just give me one.
Just one?
Just one.
Well, I like about old-timey baseball nicknames is they tend to be like too descriptive. They really go over the top. But unlike today's nicknames, where I think it would just be my name shortened with an S on the end,
right,
probably.
Of course.
It would, since I have really, really long hair. You don't know that. You can't see me. This is a podcast. But I have really long hair. So I feel like cultural figures, like it would be, you know, fairy tale. So I think my nickname would probably be Rapunzel.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
The old-timey one would probably just be old Gemma long hair.
Weird. I feel like, but sometimes they use pop culture figures, but pop culture of the time. So like things that everyone knew and it wasn't like necessarily widely disseminated via radio or TV. So I think Rapunzel is something everyone would know.
Mine is really good.
Is it? What is it?
It is really good. If you're familiar with the NBA's Dominique Wilkins, you would know that his nickname was the human highlight reel.
Uh-huh.
My nickname, because I'm bad, would be the human lowlight reel. But enough about me. Do you know who was kind enough to talk to me this week?
Who?
Braves organist Matthew Kaminsky, who is incredibly intelligent and incredibly talented. And he is getting ready to begin the first ever season at the Braves' new ballpark. He's quite excited about it. I think we're quite excited about it. And since the season is just around the corner, I had a nice conversation with him. Why don't you take a listen? I now want to welcome to the podcast an institution in the state of Georgia. No, I am not talking about peaches. I'm not talking about Coca-Cola. I'm talking about something even more iconic, the Atlanta Braves organist, Matthew Kaminsky. Welcome to the Cut Forecast.
Thank you for that introduction. You know, I haven't been the organist for as long as Coke has been here.
No, I'm not sure that that you would sound quite as good if you were. But you started there doing the organ in 2009, is that right?
Correct.
And how did that happen? How did the Braves approach you? Did you offer up your services to them? How did you start this journey?
Well, it was really dumb. I teach organ and piano lessons, and one of my adult organ students knew the guy who was kind of in charge of hiring the organist for that year. So I'm actually really not sure how many people they even found. I may have been the only one. But he asked me if that was like something that I'd be interested in, and I said yeah. You know, it was something that never really crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. And then actually, right then, during that lesson, he actually called his friend, and we set up an audition.
And how did did you play in the ballpark? Did you just play for the guy you were auditioning for? Did you have a whole program in mind?
Well, back then, they had usually two spring training games at Turner Field. Mm-hmm. This year at SunTrust Park, I think they're only going to have one. So they treated those two spring training games kind of as my audition, maybe to see if I would fall flat on my face or not. So I actually did have an interview first, you know, to kind of let me know what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of brushed up on what I thought was, you know, the charges and all the little kind of baseball ditties that I should know. But really I had yeah, I kind of had a clue of what to do, but I kind of just went for it.
How much did you discover over time? Because I guess if you're not aware, that one of the things that Matthew is most known for is sort of these tailored songs for the visiting players. One of the some of the famous ones are Camptown Races for Lucas Duda and The Morse Code for Michael Morse. So I'm wondering, like, is that something that you kind of thought of early on in the process that you pitched to the Braves? Was that something that you discovered in being their organist?
No, actually, that's something that they wanted. So they, during the interview process, they told me that, you know, they wanted to make it more interactive where, you know, where people could kind of have a game within the game. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually then took it upon myself to include Twitter on that and really include the fans on my process. But the whole kind of concept was something, you know, it's been around in baseball as well before I did it. I believe Nancy Faust for the White Sox was kind of the one that was really known for it back in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm.
It definitely is one of those things that, like, when you talk to Braves fans, and, you know, I've interacted with a lot on Twitter and stuff like that, one of the things they always talk about is, oh my gosh, our organist is, like, really great, and he does all this stuff with the visiting players. Do the players ever say anything to you or to the team about you? Is it the kind of thing that sort of percolated through baseball and the players?
I've heard a couple times from the reporters, actually. So at Turner Field, a lot of times the visiting team's reporters would sit in front of me. And I think back when Jason Worth was with the Phillies, I still kind of played for him every once in a while, but I played Jesus It's Just All Right because he kind of looks like Jesus. And I guess he told the reporter that I guess when he came up to bat, he had a chuckle and told Brian McCann that he couldn't believe that I was playing that for him. So when I hear things like that, I know that I'm doing my job, because, you know, even though, you know, what I'm doing is not going to really throw them off, it's still fun to think that they actually pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's part of home field advantage, right? You gotta do everything you can.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think, if people could have fun watching the game as well as other things around watching the game, it makes for a great game experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I'm doing is kind of almost like a game within a game.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels that way, too, when you watch the broadcast or when you're actually in Turner Field. There's a lot of, like, that moment of discovery where the fans will sort of realize the joke, or sometimes they don't. A lot of them, I think, are somewhat obscure. I don't know, pretty obscure. Is that something that you try to do, is to sort of, like, to think of it as a game, to have, like, different difficulty level for throughout an individual game?
Well, I don't know if I do it on purpose all the time, but I'm a, you know, primarily a jazz musician. And a lot of my songs are not, I guess, what you would say, mainstream music songs. So some of the songs that I come up with wouldn't necessarily be like something that a teenager would kind of think about. So a lot of times for a player, what I'll do is I'll choose two or three songs and mix it up so that, say, the 50-plus-year-olds would get a Fly Me to the Moon reference, and you know, the teenagers might get the Lady Gaga reference. And I also realize that not everyone, you know, a lot of the feedback I get is from Twitter, and I realize that not everyone is on Twitter. So, and I'm guessing maybe the 60-plus-year-olds might not be on Twitter, but they still enjoy some of the more, I guess, the older songs from the 30s and 40s that I might slip in.
How much of it is dependent, too, on, I mean, you do have that music background, obviously, and how much of it is dependent on just what you want to play, too? Because I imagine there's some of it that's just you find fun to play.
Yeah, you know, I try to limit my favorite songs. So I realize that I'm playing for the fans. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, I try to do it more for them than for myself. But, you know, every once in a while, I like to make myself laugh. And it's actually usually my musician friends who are at the games that will really get it.
But, do you have a personal favorite of that genre?
Of that genre, yeah. So if it's more of an obscure jazz song, you know, maybe only 20 people out of the 30,000 might get it. But, you know, it might crack me up.
Do you have, like, a favorite player that you like playing for?
Yeah, I'm not too sure because I think maybe Jason Wirth just because he did respond.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the players with the most not recognizable, but with the easiest last name are the ones I guess are my favorites because I don't have to really do as much digging for those.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a Robinson, you know, Mrs. Robinson works all the time.
Yeah.
Or if you have a McDonald, old McDonald is going to work. Or even, you know, even Duda. I'm not too sure why that one really caught on, but, you know, it's the most obvious name with maybe a nursery rhyme or maybe just a kid's song that works the best sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering, too, what is, like, is the hardest part your sort of putting together the songs that you're trying to think of? Is the hardest part trying to play for such a big audience, which I imagine is different than what you're used to in the jazz clubs and stuff like that? What is the mm-hmm. hardest part of the job that maybe we don't think about?
Well, you know, I think I've gotten used to playing for the big crowds because it's weird because I'm hearing myself through my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it doesn't even almost seem like that I'm playing for the big crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really hear it out in the stadium. I hear it through my headphones. I hear a direct feed. So I've kind of gotten used to playing for crowds like that because I could just kind of tune it out, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was the other part of your question?
The other part just, is it hard? What is generally the hardest part of the job that people might not expect?
Well, I'm in my headphone, I hear myself. But I also hear the producer, and I'll hear the sound engineer, and sometimes a couple other voices in my head. So not my own voices, but voices in my head.
Yeah, I was going to say, you may need to get that looked at.
But taking direction while I'm still playing is probably the hardest part. So sometimes they'll say, like, you know, we'll need you to stop in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I try to make it so it sounds like a natural kind of transition or an ending. I try not to just stop in the middle of a song.
Mm-hmm.
So the hardest part is, you know, listening for them while still playing. And then sometimes if I do bring some music to read, because I play a lot of songs by ear, and it's a lot easier for me that way. But if I'm looking at something to read the music off of, then it's hard for me to look at the field and look at that music at the same time as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with the walk-up songs, I'm usually given, I don't know, maybe 20 to 30 seconds, but I still have to see where the player goes into the batter's box. And once he's in the batter's box, then I have to stop.
Yeah, that does seem like a challenge. You've seen a lot of baseball since doing this in 2009. Has it changed how you appreciate the game? Do you feel like you know more about sort of the ins and outs of baseball than you maybe did before?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I definitely appreciate more of the strategy that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times during the games, I guess I'm concentrating on more of what I'm doing than what I guess goes on in the field.
Yeah.
So I'm still cheering for the Braves and still paying attention, but I'm also looking to see what the next song is going to be or if I'm going to play a certain charge or not. So depending on the situation, I like to use different charges and such like that, you know, based on what's happening on the field. So sometimes it's hard to really pay attention to exactly what's going on in the actual game.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. I guess the other thing I'm wondering too is now that you guys, you're moving into this new stadium, is that how much say did you have in, I guess, the Oregon experience of the new stadium? Is that something that the team consulted with you on?
Yeah, you know, I try to add my input wherever I can. I actually asked if I could be somewhere, maybe out in the bar somewhere. We had what we called the Chop House,
mm-hmm.
Or at Turner Field we did. So I tried to get them to put me out where the fans are somewhere. But just logistically, I guess it wouldn't quite work. So I'm going to actually be in the control booth at SunTrust. And then they did ask me if, you know, I would kind of look around for what new organs that I want for the new stadium. And being a Hammond organ artist, I gave them, you know, a list of the Hammond organs, and they're actually going to get me one.
Really? What organ are they getting?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. They're going to get the Hammond SK2, and which is one of the new Hammond products. And just logistically, it fits in the space better than a really big kind of pipe organ-looking thing. So a lot of times, I guess we have to make decisions upon what we could feed through the PA system and what would fit in the space that's allotted for me. So I'm really looking forward to having a new organ at the new stadium.
That's awesome. What is it about the specific sound of an organ that you would request that would make you want that specific organ? Is it just the size constraints, or is there a sound quality too that you think is sort of helpful or unique to the baseball sound?
Well, the old, I guess baseball organs started about 1935 or so. And it started in Wrigley Field, and back then they used Hammond organs, for maybe a good 20, 30 years before they started using Lowry organs and other companies as well. But if I listen to old recordings of, say, the Yankees or the Cubs or the White Sox, it's the Hammond organ sound that really is kind of the sound of baseball organ. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to really keep that, keep that sound with the Braves. And I think it's, a lot of people associate it kind of with skating rink music, or they'll associate it with maybe Lawrence Welk. But that the classic Hammond organ sound is what I really kind of relate to as organ music or baseball organ music. So I definitely requested that on purpose because I wanted to keep that kind of natural sound in the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. It's one of those sort of unique baseball culture things. So I think it's really great what you specifically have been doing to sort of keep that tradition alive in Atlanta, especially with the new stadium. And I know that you're a real musician. Emphasis on the word real. You have bands and you perform. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess I have about three aspects of my career. So one of the things that I do is baseball. You know, so I also play for the UGA Bulldogs at college baseball games, as well as Auburn and sometimes Georgia Tech. So baseball takes up about 100 games a year for me.
Wow.
And then the other third would be teaching. And I have roughly about 15 students right now, as well as I teach actually senior citizen organ classes, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other third would be performing in other situations. So as a jazz organist, pianist, and accordionist, I play with a lot of different groups. You know, I play with different jazz groups, a polka band. I play in a salsa band. really anything that I could kind of include my instrument on, I'll take that job. And I've played with rock bands before. I've played in blues clubs. So that really, it may be something that not a lot of people know, but, I perform quite a bit outside of baseball, that people may not know about.
Have Braves fans sort of discovered your other musical pursuits and tried to come see you perform? I know that, like, if I was in Atlanta, I was a big passionate Braves fan, that would be something I would be interested in.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while, someone will come up to me and say, you know, that they're a Braves fan. They saw me perhaps tweet about my gig. And what they're usually surprised is that the other type of music that I play is so vastly different from baseball organ music.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they come see me with a salsa band, it's usually on piano that I play there. And, it's really a lot different from baseball organ. And, you know, if they see me playing with my jazz group, they're just going to have a whole different experience. You know, even though I'll sometimes throw and take me to the ball or take me out to the ball game just for a little little fun, they usually are surprised at, you know, how different that I sound in those situations.
Yeah, it's awesome that you're doing it. It's awesome that you're spreading the love of Oregon. And
oh, thanks.
This should be a really good season for the Braves in the new stadium. Is there anything that you're doing to try to get prepared, or any big blowouts for opening day at home?
Well, my baseball season actually starts February 18th. Actually, only a week and a half away. With college baseball starts early.
Oh, okay.
So with UGA, I have a good maybe 8 or 9 games before I even play with the Braves.
So it's like your own mini spring training.
Yeah, really. It's really a great warm up. And actually, at the college games, I get to play a lot more than I would at the Braves games. In the college arena, you know, there's not going to be as many sponsors, and there's not going to be as much, I guess, going on in between innings as there are with the Braves. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much all warmed up by the time the Braves season starts.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to it. Matthew, thank you so much for stopping by the Cut Forecast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Have a great season.
Once again, thanks to Matthew. I don't think I can call him Matt.
I mean, I guess you're friends
now. We're friends now. Maybe
that was so
I can.
Great, though.
Maddie, I know. Thanks so to Maddie for stopping by. Now we're not friends.
We want him to come back. Don't do that.
We're not friends anymore. But thanks for coming and talking to us. It was really interesting. I learned a lot about just, like, what it takes to be an organist in a baseball stadium. But the time we have together for this week is up. I must depart to go to the most magical place on earth. But before I do that, Gemma, it is time to sum up the podcast in 140 characters. Since there isn't a third person here for me to make go first.
I'll go first. Okay. It's fine.
I was going to make you go first anyway. So
of course you were. Yeah. So it's better if I volunteer. All right, ready? Attention at MILB teams. 2018 needs a Carmen Sandiego night, or we'll all eat a crow.
Sure. I will retweet that because I want Carmen Sandiego night to be a real thing. My tweet that I will summarize our podcast with is...
I should have said something about satin uniforms. I regret it.
MILB idea, colon. Baseball hats with fake beards, period. Hashtag the return of Brian Wilson night.
He doesn't have a beard anymore.
Right, but people... You know, just poke holes in my tweet.
We both kind of
whiffed
on this one.
Bring me down. We did really whiff on this one. If you have a tweet that more accurately summarizes this podcast, please tweet it at us, at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the best ones, and we will mute you if you bring up politics.
Did your hands get warm?
I took the gloves off. The podcast's over. It's time to take the gloves off. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. If you go to mlb.com/cut4 or cut4.com, you can read all of the blogs that we blogged for you, our blog audience. You can learn about Wes Blog, the baseball player. He was a real player. We do actually have a post about him, although it's not on our site right now. And you can subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or anywhere that you get your podcasts. If you actually take time to write a review and leave us a rating, we would be quite appreciative of that fact. And mostly, I am appreciative of you, Gemma.
Aww,
for being here.
That was so nice. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you ridiculed my gloves. I decided to turn the other cheek. But mostly, thank you for listening. And while I will not talk to you next week, we, as in Cut 4, will. Bye.